Well, the message for today is how to manage burdens. And we are continuing our study of the book of Galatians. And I'm pushing the button and it's not cooperating. Are you able to move it back there? To get it to move to slide number one? Or there we go. That's getting closer. All right. So, as we're looking at the book of Galatians, we are finding ourselves in chapter 6. So, we're getting close to wrapping it up. Our passage today is dealing with the matter of burdens and the concern about carrying a burden reminds me, and hopefully you as well, of Pilgrim's Progress. And so that may not be fresh on your mind, so let me just kind of give a little bit of background here. There was a man named Christian who was weighed down by a great burden, and he was seeking relief from it. And he and a fellow traveler by the name of Pliable were following the exhortation of a man named Evangelist to follow a particular path. However, at some point, they took their eyes off the path and found themselves floundering in the Slough of Despond. If you've ever been there, it's a good place to get out of. But Pliable was eventually able to get free and went on his own way, but the weight that Christian's burden was on his back kept him stuck in the slough until a man named Help came along and assisted him so that he could get out and go on his way. More on that after a while. But the weight of the burden was an ongoing problem for Christian in this analogy. And there was the point of ultimately dealing with the burden and then the burdens that we continue to deal with. But there's some imagery here that we can relate to. The idea of carrying a weight, a burden, something that is heavy upon us. The weight and frustration of burdens is something that we are familiar with all too personally. So let's think about that. It's unlikely that you don't have any burdens right now. Wouldn't you like to know how to manage burdens? Chapter 6 begins with a concern about being overtaken by a sin. It says in verse 1 of Galatians 6 that we dealt with previously, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So it points out that someone is in need and there is an opportunity for one to be of assistance to this one in need, but there is a caution about not being pulled in by the error yourself and being careful and providing care as is needed. So the idea of providing help here is found in this text and it's going to be expanded on in verse 2. So let's think about this. What kinds of burdens are there to manage? And the text in verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." As we think about burdens, they are generally consequences of something. Something that brings it about that you end up feeling like you're carrying this load that you wish you weren't carrying. So let's think about it. There are burdens of life. The consequences of living in a fallen world. Things that happen around us. So let's think about that. There are personal losses that can affect our health. I'm thinking here about the more serious kinds of physical ailments or of the loss of life of someone around us, a loved one. Dealing with those things that are part of the aging process. Can anybody relate to that? Well, let me tell you about it. I'm not going to tell you about it today. But I could tell you something about it. But there are also relational problems, getting along with others, having or not having friends, issues of loneliness. You can think about it. There's all kinds of things that fit into that area. It's always a challenge dealing with people. Have you noticed that? But it can also be a real blessing. We just need to figure out how to handle it correctly. And then there are financial and physical problems. Just making it through life with adequate material provisions and reasonable functionality. These are things that we have to deal with routinely. It's just part of life. And we all know that it doesn't have to be a huge thing to be a problem. I mean, have you ever stubbed your toe? Had a sore finger that no matter what you did, you bang on that finger trying to be careful? I mean, it's just one little thing. But then there are so many other things that disrupt our normally pleasant life that we aim for so hard, things that affect the quality of life. Those are burdens, or can be. And I probably haven't even been specific enough to touch on something that you might personally be able to relate to. But then let's think about another facet, and that is there are burdens of faith. The consequences of living for Christ may be part of this picture. And depending on where you are in the search, there's a search for meaning in life. And that's part of the concern about coming to faith in Christ. It's difficult to live without meaning, without true meaning. And we yearn for it. And we know that we won't find it unless we trust Christ as Savior. There is the weight of concern for the lost or moral right. Those can be heavy concerns. If we have loved ones, those around us, or even a stranger, as we've been reminded of, that we've not met, do we have a concern for them? Is there a sensitivity to the reality of the lost? Do we have a sensitivity to the implications of right and wrong? And we see so much in our world today that is wrong that needs to be made right. Those things can weigh on us. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes you want to avoid any exposure to the news of what's going on because it weighs on you. There are practical results of commitment to Christ. It can create some relational issues. If you've come to faith in Christ, or if you communicate your faith in Christ, it may alienate family or friends. There may be new allegiances with new family and friends. There may be financial consequences for good, reallocating funds for those things that we ought to have consideration for, or bad things can happen because you're following Christ. It can affect one's job, one's family, the possibility of promotion, depending on what you run into. Different things happen with different people. There may be persecution. There may be related consequences. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 28, where we see Paul's example. Not everyone has a list this long, but he says in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 24, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I have spent, or have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now, if you weren't kind of feeling under the weight of something before reading that, on the other hand, you might look at that and say, well, I don't have it that bad yet. But all of that can add up to a heavy burden. And we could probably write our own list of those things that we've had to deal with in some way or another. So there are burdens that are related to faith. But then there are burdens of sin, consequences of our own making. This is the emphasis of the context here, verse 1, being overtaken in a trespass, the weight of guilt and shame, the internal emotional burden there, or the personal consequences of wrong or bad choices, actual, real, physical results that come when we mess up. We can relate to that as well. Those are the things that we would prefer not to put on a list for everyone to read, but we know we have those things as well. The focus of our text today is on providing help, as is pointed out in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is a very practical command. It tells us what we ought to do. And generally, it would refer to helping those who are hurting. And there are plenty of those around us, and we may be in that boat ourselves. And specifically, it's dealing with helping one who's under the weight of sin, but it includes more than that. But this comes from the reference here relates to the biblical principle of loving one another, because it's talking about fulfilling the law of Christ. That's what the law of Christ is about. You may remember John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Galatians 5:13-15, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So don't do the opposite of loving one another, because that doesn't look good. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't help anyone. But then there's also Romans 13:8-10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. That's what it's talking about when it's talking about, it's really a summation of all of the law of Christ. It's summarized in that idea. We're reminded of 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul talks about the centrality of love in the different virtues that are considered there. So how important is the law of love to us, and does it drive us in the direction of helping others, bearing another's burden? That's kind of the point that's there. So then let's move on and consider what qualifications are necessary to manage burdens. Verse 3 says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So the focus here is on managing burdens in the body of Christ. This is one of the few times that I will show a cat. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Because they are delusional. Look at that. All right. Have the right attitude. That's one of the qualifications. A willingness to help another. It comes from a humble attitude, not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. So we need to avoid a legalistic attitude. That's the kind of the whole context of the book of Galatians. Focus on grace, God's provision through Christ. A legalist will look down on another, not be wishing to help, will simply point out, well, this is where you messed up. Tough luck, buddy. That's why it's calling for a spiritual person to restore another. Someone who has the, I think, in the basic idea of sensitivity to the Spirit's leading in their life. Also avoid a self-centered attitude, thinking oneself to be something when we really are not. There's a selfishness, a delusional kind of perspective that we can gain if we get focused on self too much. And someone high on self will not readily help others because they're too focused on what can you do for me, not what I can do for you. And especially if someone is suffering the effects due to their personal sin, the response of someone with a self-centered attitude is, well, it's your own dumb fault. Deal with it. Instead of, well, how can I help you? So we have to be cautious in that regard. Avoid a conceited attitude, thinking we're something when we're nothing. Something needs to be laid aside in order to help someone else. It usually means I've got to readjust my schedule. I've got to think about how I can be of assistance. And if I'm focused on self, I'm not going to make those accommodations. So I need to get rid of whatever conceit, have no attitude of intolerance or of superiority. All of this involves expressing personal concern for someone who is in need. Help with burdens comes from helping one another out of a heart of love that we're to have for one another. How are we able to do that? Do we look for opportunities to do that? It's a good reminder. It's too easy to be taken up with what I want to do for myself. Not that I've ever had that problem. Believe me, I can relate. We all face that challenge. Then looking at verses 4 and 5. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What is that talking about? Be careful how you compare. For each one shall bear his own load. Let's think about this. So first we said have the right attitude. Here we're saying have the right responses. Personal responsibility. And it's suggesting that we start with submitting to personal examination. Examined here means to approve through testing. And we're reminded of some different segments of verses, Romans 12:2, that you may prove what is good. It's be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good. Or 1 Timothy 3:10, but let these also first be tested. That's talking about leaders. Approved through testing. Or 1 John 4:1, test the spirits whether they are of God. It may also mean to determine if something or someone is worthy or fit. 1 Corinthians 11:28 is talking about in the context of communion, but let a man examine himself. What kind of attitude am I having as I come to the communion table, for instance? 1 Corinthians 16:3, whomever you approve by your letters. It's talking about approving someone with regard to who is worthy of carrying a gift to bring to someone. So there's the issue of the proper measuring stick is important in that verse. Let each one examine his own work. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. Rejoice in self alone. In other words, don't measure yourself against the failures of others, because that's easy to do. Because I may look pretty good next to so-and-so, because look what a mess up they are. But I really need to look in the mirror on those occasions and say, okay, chump, why are you doing what you're doing? Think about it. But we're not measuring ourselves with others, maybe not even ourselves, but we are measuring by Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among others, are not wise." And then 2 Corinthians 10:17-18 says, "But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." Approved has the idea of Christ's stamp of approval. So it's not the one who commends himself, but it's the one that the Lord commends. So we need to evaluate by his standard, not our own, not someone else. So we need to evaluate our own spiritual fitness. Am I spiritually fit to restore another under the burden of sin? Do I have the spiritual stamina, the strength, the discernment to know how to deal with that? It's not easy. Am I emotionally fit to help another through a difficult time? Do I have the right attitude and strength? Do I have the perseverance to help someone work through something? Or am I blinded by legalism, which is easy to do? As in, you messed up, buddy. It's your problem. Fix it. We need to know when and how to deal with that. But just think about God's grace. How he has shown his grace to us, all of whom among us has messed up, continues to mess up, and yet God's grace is at work in our behalf through Christ. So plan on personal load bearing. There's another aspect. There's a present and future emphasis here. Present is handle all manageable loads responsibly. Now, what's helpful to think about when it says each one shall bear his own load, it's talking about the pack that was worn by a marching soldier. That's the word there. The forshawn. Think about Matthew 11:30. My yoke is easy, but my burden is light. And my burden is light. And load probably then has the idea of life's routine obligations. Those things that are part of our ministry calling, we need to take those things up. And then there's the future element. We are held accountable for how we handled all things at the end. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15, just a segment here. There will be fire that will test each one's work. Or 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so there's another aspect, and that is that we don't want to let our help remove another's personal responsibility. So I need to help within boundaries. That is not easy. When we see someone in need around us, how much do we go to help? Recognize there's a place, there's a boundary. Because I don't want to remove someone else's personal responsibility, but I don't want to not help where I am able. That takes some discernment. And that is not easy. What ways are there to manage burdens? Well, there are some basic options. And we're going to put this in real simple terms. Shifting. That's not having to do with riding your bicycle where you're shifting, or back in the olden days when you had manual transmissions where you're shifting. This is sort of a repacking for greater comfort. Some loads cannot be removed completely, but they can be adjusted. Sometimes it's an attitude adjustment on our part. I think back to those occasions where I had opportunity to do some backpacking, and it really did make a difference how you packed as to whether it was more comfortable or not. Get better balance, put the right things in the right place, and of course pack the right things and don't pack what you don't need to take. So the principle is make whatever adjustments are possible and helpful, but still be prepared to carry what is necessary. Figuring that out sometimes is a challenge, however. If possible, don't care any more than you need to. As you know, there's a careful balance in packing between being prepared and taking and carrying too much. Anyone who has ever traveled anywhere knows that difficult balance to find. So that's shifting your pack a bit. Then there's sharing. That's the emphasis particularly here, distributing the weight among two, bearing one another's burdens. You could maybe have a picture in your mind of someone where you've got a bucket, you know, a heavy bucket that needs to be carried. You put it on a pole with the handle, and then two people take it, one on either side. It's definitely easier to handle that way. Reminds us of Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if one fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. That's a principle we can all relate to. Two are better than one in many contexts. And that's why the church family is important, to be able to help one another. And then the next one here is shoving. It's not where you walk up to someone and you push them over. That's not the kind of shoving. We're talking about pushing your burden aside, passing it on to another. That reminds me of, if you've ever gone hiking with a child, there was an occasion just a few years ago when I was watching our grandkids, and I took them hiking up in the whitewash, just up toward the end of Candelaria there. And it's a little bit technical going up there, so I had the three of them. The youngest one was about two. Guess what I got to do for part of that? Carry the two-year-old, which I anticipated, but we had a blast. It was fun. They enjoyed it. But she needed someone bigger to help her up those challenging climbs. But it's a good picture of Christ with us, who carries us when we need it. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Or 1 Peter 5, 7, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. I will never, ever forget when a family at our church up in Michigan, the mother of five girls died from cancer, and her husband was, to put simply, a scoundrel. And I remember at the funeral, those five little girls and the mom, her name was Diane, she was an excellent piano player, and she led the children's choir, and so the girls could all sing, and the youngest was, I think, around two. And they went up and sang, I will cast all my care upon you. And I can't think of that verse without thinking of that picture. And we worked so hard as a church family to help them get through that situation. But there was a burden that those little girls were carrying. And the church family was able to rally around and help work through that. But we need to remember, cast all our cares upon him. and carry only what you have to. So, I knew that was going to be hard to get through. There are some basic questions. Is this a weight I need to be carrying? We often carry stuff we don't need to. We need to think about it. Is this something I should be carrying? Is it something I should be carrying alone? How might I benefit from this burden? Is there something I can learn? Can I grow from it? I remember when I was in seminary, my second year, toward the end of the first semester, around Thanksgiving, I had a herniated disc in my neck and ended up having surgery. And that was a very difficult period of time, dealing with a herniated disc and working and having a full load. And the surgery was eventually planned for exam week. So I had to get extensions in all my classes and was off work and everything else for the month between Christmas and or the end of the semester and when school started again. But I was able to get caught up and get everything accomplished during that time frame. We actually had to borrow a little money from my parents in order to survive me not working for a month. But that all worked out. And at the time, I'm thinking, why is this happening? This is so difficult. This is hard. But afterward, I came to realize this was part of the curriculum that I hadn't anticipated. I had never been in a hospital before as a patient. And I didn't like hospitals. But I learned something being in the hospital for a week. Going through that, it was a great experience in a way that I hadn't anticipated. So sometimes there are those occasions that come that are awful, and then we look back and we say, there's something I can learn from this. There's actually value, benefit that we can gain. And then there's also, is there someone who can help me with this burden? Has God prepared someone to help with it? Has someone been through the same thing who could be of help? Can I simply give it over to Christ? Now I have to say that's easier said than done, as you all know. So, there are some basic steps, this basically review. Identify the burden. Is it real or perceived? Am I just imagining that this is a burden? Is it real? What is weighing you down? Often many things. But sometimes thinking it through can be helpful. Classify the burden. What kind is it? Whose is it? Is it really my burden? Should I be carrying it? Is it a burden of life, a burden of faith, a burden of sin? Is it under my control to deal with it? Then evaluate the burden. Determine what to do with it. Should I shift it? Repackage it a little? Handle it? Share it? Get someone else to help me with it? Or shove it? Push it off? Get rid of it? Handle it differently? And then act on the burden. By shifting, sharing, shoving it, whatever has to be done, make a conscious action to deal with it. Don't just dwell on it. That's what we tend to do, and it keeps us awake at night. Choose not to carry it unnecessarily. Learn not to worry about what is not yours to carry. Some are carrying burdens that require a more basic action. The burden of sin needs to be dealt with by real forgiveness. And this is something that we should always come back to when dealing with somebody, because our sin weighs us down and may lead us to severe consequences. We can't solve our ultimate sin problem ourselves. God has provided a way through Christ's sacrifice for sin. Forgiveness of sin is only available through Christ. It requires a faith response, believing that Jesus paid for sin. Not me. I'm not going to pay that price. I can't. I mean, I might pay some consequences for some things I've done, but that's not the same. It means trusting Christ's provision of salvation for me. It means having our burden of sin removed and our other burdens that continue even as we are a believer, carried by Christ. You may have read the final experience of Christian on his journey. It says, the road that Christian followed was called salvation. On each side there was a wall. He tried to run, but it was hard because of the load on his back. He hurried on until he came to a hill where a cross stood. At the bottom of the hill was a tomb. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came to the cross, his burden came loose from his shoulders. It fell from his back and rolled to the bottom of the hill. There it fell into the tomb, and I could not see it anymore. Then Christian was happy to be free from his burden, and he said with a joyful heart, he has given me rest by his death. Then he stood still for a while to look and wonder, and he was very surprised that by looking at the cross, he should be freed from his burden. That's the message of hope that we have in Christ.